Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you don't have life insurance, let's say, you know, you worked on paying off your debt. You're like, listen, I'm doing well. I paid off my debts. I'm getting ready. I have this amount of money to purchase a home. And there comes an event. Well, the money that you have, you're going to have to take that money and use it to take care of yourself. And then when you recover, starting from scratch.
You are now turned in to A Shot of Melanin, a podcast dedicated to amplifying the voices, stories, and accomplishments of Black Canadians. This podcast is about learning and growing. So let's get into it, shall we? I'm hoping that you're liking the season so far. I know we've only come out with one episode, but I'm hoping that you've enjoyed it so far. I'm also hoping that you're enjoying the new look. I'm hoping you're enjoying the new sound. Let me know what you think. Definitely reach out to me. You can reach out on Instagram at A Shot of Melanin. You can also reach out to me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at ASOM_podcast. And you can even reach out to me on Facebook for those who may still use Facebook. I'm still around there at A Shot of Melanin as well. So let me know your feedback. Let me know your thoughts. I implore you to give me some suggestions as well if you're looking for future episodes. Now, I know some of you are probably new to this podcast, so I'm sure you're wondering what was the last episode about. So essentially what I do for the first month of the new month, I announced the artist and song of the month. So January was the artist of song Akilah with her song Hello. Now, essentially what I do is I announce it, you get a little snippet of it. And if you didn't catch it, we do have a playlist that you can listen to all of her artists and songs on the month. She did also recently drop one of her newest song. It's technically unreleased and you can only hear it on TikTok and Instagram. So once that song fully drops on Spotify, I will make sure to put it in our playlist. Now the playlist is called The Mix. I'll be sure to link that in the description box so that you can hold on to it and, you know, get yourself familiar with some new music. The main purpose of the Artist and Song of the Month is to highlight Black Canadians and, you know, hear a different sound or hear other artists sing. You know, we've previously had songs on like Layla Day, Jessie Wu, and so much more. So definitely take a look at the playlist and let me know what your thoughts are on that. Okay, so I know we tend to be individuals who's all about building wealth, right? We are in a society that currently glamorizes to hustle hard, you know, hustle culture, to try to stack paper, right? We want to be able to have enough money to, one, retire comfortably, you know, maybe travel, you know, do things like that. Or even in some cases, if people have kids, you know, you're building up wealth so that your kids can live a little bit more comfortably and maybe enjoy the finer things in life, the things that you not necessarily got to enjoy. So I know that this is kind of the thing that's going on, to be honest, with inflation. I'm sure hustle culture is in really hard as people are trying to make ends meet. But for those of us who are trying to make more money, create a business so that we have passive income coming, so that we could use that money to fuel into our kids, into our families, into our loved ones, I had the thought of, while that is great, what do you do in the event that something stops you from continuing on with building that wealth? What happens in the situation where you are diagnosed with a life-threatening condition? Or what if you're just diagnosed with something that is not life-threatening but can definitely put a hole in the pocket? So I'd say this not to be meek, but more so just for people to understand the importance of something called insurance, particularly life insurance. There's life insurance and there's critical illness insurance. And so I thought, while it's great that we are trying to make money, we're trying to build wealth, we are starting these businesses, for many of us, I don't know if we have life insurance or critical illness insurance. And that could be very detrimental. Because imagine this, you have a business, you're making paper, you're building momentum, and then you get diagnosed with something. What if all that money that you saved for is now the money that you're using to pay for medical bills, to pay for medicine, to pay to see specialists that are not necessarily covered by the government and that you have to fork out of pocket? So that was the whole purpose of today's episode. Today's episode, we are looking at life insurance and critical illness insurance, because I want to make sure that this episode is something that makes you think, but not only think, gets you to move. We did talk about financial literacy, and I did want to continue that conversation. I do want us to come into 2024 with another mindset of not only finances, just to also make sure that we are in a better standing in the event that something should happen to us. So today's episode, we are talking about things such as life insurance and critical illness insurance. And I've got a guest who is very knowledgeable in this area. And so I'm just going to get Natalie to just introduce herself. How did she get into this field, and what else does she do in terms of insurance and discussions around that? So Natalie, just give my listeners a little bit of information on who you are.
Well, Michelle, thank you for having me on this Shot of Melanin podcast. It's an honor to be here. To all of you, thank you for having me. I am Natalie Walters, the founder of Reset With Nat. I am a life insurance specialist who also helps families with financial planning. Now, what that looks like is going over your risk management, working on your uncontrollable events, and that's where we're focusing on today, the topic of life insurance. I also have a podcast where I share information about life insurance and also personal growth and development with a 5-step reset. So yeah, that's what I do. Okay, the journey on how I got here. So when I was younger, you know, my son, he was very young. He was about a year, and my grandfather had passed away, and my father said to me, you better get some life insurance. And I was like, whatever. He didn't say it and give me any details. He didn't give me any referral. It was very just right? And I spoke to one of my adult friends, and she basically said, oh, you don't need that. You're fine. Blah, 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 blah. years passed. I had claimed bankruptcy, made a muck of my money, and then I was having a conversation with one of my coworkers, and this coworker had told me about his financial advisor. And I was like, introduce me to that person. So when they came to my house and they had the conversation, he started to ask me questions about what would happen if you have a child, what would happen if you were sick, if you passed away, who's taking care, how are they going to manage? And I was like, okay, sign me up. How do I start? And then from there, he was like, you have a great personality, you know, you seem very outgoing and whatnot. So he introduced me to the business, and that's how I ended up pursuing getting my license, because then I saw the value of not only financial planning, but also majorly the protection. And that's why on my platform, I tend to share a lot about life insurance coverage.
And I'm learning at the tender age of 35.
Yeah.
How important life insurance is. Now, I did not know it was very important. Can you give us a brief overview of what life insurance is and why it's important?
Yeah. So it's a contract between the company, right, the insurance provider, and the individual, or sometimes it could be a business. And that contract is for a sum of money. So if you're purchasing a sum of money, then the company is saying, you need to pay me this amount in a premium every single month, quarterly or yearly. And in the event of, if it's a illness, this would be the lump sum payout, a critical illness. If it is death, this would be the payout. Now, there are beneficiaries that are attached to that. So there would be the individual that would be in receipt of those funds, right? Because with life insurance, it's you pass away, the beneficiaries receive that lump sum of money tax-free. But a critical illness policy, which is a living benefit, you are purchasing for yourself in the event of, you know what, you have a diagnosis and the hope is to survive, right? The hope is that you're going to survive. So you want to be able to make sure that the income loss from working is going to be replaced, right? Because, I mean, it depends. Some people live on their own. Some people live with their family. So you want to make sure that the funds are there, and that way it reduces stress, right? And it provides other opportunities, right? And then as well, the benefits are received tax-free.
Okay. So life insurance is a great thing to have, from my understanding, also to not put so much of a burden in the event of death on your families. Because, like, I don't know if you would know, Natalie, but, like, how expensive is a funeral?
So, it's a good question. Good question. So, I mean, the cost of funerals all depend on individual and family and household affordability. But I've been to a funeral home and I went through their showcase room, and it can be as minimal as $1,000 just to buy the casket. But the body has to be held. You have to arrange for people to come. You have to arrange for the repast. You have to do all of these other things to plan. The person has to get dressed. Their hair has to get done. The makeup. I don't know if all of that's included in that other part, but there's a lot. So let's say the minimum, $15,000. But because they have to be buried, right? So I would say minimum $15,000, but that's on a very, very low scale. That's a low income family, right?
Okay.
And most of us, most families do not want to send their loved ones off in the basics, with the basics. You know, you want to make them look good, have a good event. So you're going to want to spend a little bit more, you know?
And so what can be the maximum somebody could pay?
Oh, boy. Well, that's a good question. And to be honest, I don't know the rates, but I would say the minimum that with my clients, a minimum I tried to get them to purchase for just funeral expenses in itself at this time is about $40,000 to $50,000. Just for the funeral expenses. Yeah. That's a lot. Yeah, because, you know, like I was saying, there's clothes. There's sometimes when a person passes away, their body has to be held for a few days because people have to come in from different countries. You know, there's how is this person going to, where are they going to be buried? Even with that, let's talk about people who pass away here and then they have to be shipped back home. That's even more money. Right? So if you're here, I'd say minimum $40,000. This is something where speaking to an individual who's in a funeral would be great to get rates and such, but I would just say minimum to have a decent
shoot. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is just to more so give people an idea of how I think I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know it could be that much. And yeah. I'm, you know,
yeah.
So it was not really to just like, it was more so give an idea of like the importance of life insurance and how you could fork this out of pocket by yourself. I mean, like as a kid, like me, let's say, and if somebody I know, touch wood, passes and I have to fork the bill, you know.
Well, this is why people are signing up to GoFundMe and getting community support, right? But I mean, even in that event, it doesn't have to be so, because if we all take a little responsibility for ourselves and do a little bit of research, you know, get a quote, have the conversation and find out how much will it cost. I mean, it's not just covering funeral expenses. There are other things that have to be covered, right? There's after taxes. Like when people pass, we have to pay taxes. There's creditors who will come for the money that's owed. There, you know, the people are calling you when you're alive. They will be calling your family and looking for you when you pass. They want the money.
What?
People want their money.
So and yeah. Here I thought they go away.
No, it doesn't just go away. Yes, it goes to your estate and money's owed. So yeah, money has to be left for those purposes. And then for people who have children, there's a loss of one income from a household if it's a two-parent family. And then what if it's a one-parent family and that parent has passed? Now, hopefully there's someone that is going to be the trustee and, you know, the guardian of that child within the families. You know, there's that responsibility that is taken care of. But what about the financial responsibility for that individual? One that they didn't have, that they have to assume. So that means the financial burden will come onto that family. And it's not that people don't want to do it, but it makes it a lot easier when there are funds to take care of the child, right? It also allows the child to then have, yeah, they have to grieve, but maybe there's funds that will be able to take care of counseling, you know, having them still be able to participate in the activities and so on that they have, their food, their shelter, everything will be secure and taken care of. Yes, the government tends to help in certain ways, but at the end of the day, we don't need to depend on government when there are tools and services available for us to help ourselves. All we need to do is take a portion of our income and get it solidified.
So by that, we're encouraging life insurance, correct?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, we are. We're definitely encouraging individuals. So whether some people don't have children, right? It's some people are like, why do I need it? I don't have any children. It's just me. Well, if you pass, now you would have a lump sum of money and you leave that, you have a beneficiary on there, a family member who you trust that will take care of your final expenses. It will take care of managing your funeral. You know what I mean? And they will have that lump sum of money, and it makes it just that much easier right? For them to be able to do so. So
I think that's a great conversation, because I'm not too sure if a lot of people are very much aware of life insurance. And that's why I wanted to have this conversation. I feel like, especially in certain pockets of the Black community, a lot of people don't. I've been to countless of funerals where there was no life insurance. Said person passed, and it really put the family on a strain.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing this episode to be grim.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing this episode to make people prepared. So even though you want to be financially secured, I'm sure you don't want any type of financial burden put on other people, as you had mentioned. So with life insurance, tell me about the various types of life insurance policy, and could you explain the difference between term, life, whole life, and universal life insurance?
Okay, so with the different types of policies, there are living benefits and there's death benefits, right? Now, living benefits, critical illness, there's the permanent insurance, and those two are the universal and the whole life policies, right? They're permanent. Term insurance is temporary. It's for a time. So with companies that offer term, you agree upon a time frame, 10 years, 20, depending on what the company offers. Every company has different arrangements. And what rate you start with, you pay until that term ends. Now, there's other variations that may change the rates in between, depending on how the agreement is set up with yourself and the advisor. And that has to be discussed. There's reasons why sometimes with a term policy, the rates can increase instrumentally year after year, because sometimes people can't afford a lot. So they have to have, you know, a different strategy to build up their face amount. But the premise behind a term policy is that it's for a duration of time. With this type of policy, it's least expensive at the beginning. However, upon renewal, the rates are higher. You're older, and there could be other conditions or factors that will make the rates higher. So when it comes to purchasing policies, it's important to consider getting it when you're younger, healthier, because then it's affordable. But at the same time, you have to know, with a term policy, when you get it, it's something that when the term is done and you're still going to need coverage, the rates are that much higher. Now, with the other policies, there's the whole life, and there's a whole life, and then there's a participating whole life. So as I said, with term, it stops, say it's a 10 year, it stops in 10 years. With a whole life, there is whatever the duration of time you sign your agreement till the time you pass, as long as you continue to pay your premiums, you have that policy. And whatever you pay when you start is what you pay when you pass, up until the time you pass, right? And that lump sum is provided to the family, those given to your beneficiary. But then there's a participating whole life, where you are contributing to, you're in receipt of dividends from the company's investment. So they are investing money, and you are paying a higher premium to be in receipt of a payout or a dividend payout from that investment. So you're paying a higher premium, but that higher premium allows you to receive dividends on a quarterly or annual basis, right? It's not you investing, the company is. All you're doing is contributing a little bit more to your premium. The benefit to that is it's a cash value. That cash value will allow you to take money out once those dividends are paid out to you. It allows you the flexibility to take funds out of it, right? So, you know, when you hear on social media, there's a lot of people who talk about being your own bank. Mm-hmm. You've heard of those? Yeah. So That is one of the policies that's used, that people use to pay into receiving dividends and higher payouts in their policy because they contribute more and they can borrow from the policy and take out money from it on an occasional basis and still be paying the same premium from day one until time of death. And the family has the cash value payout that is given to them as part of their benefit. Now, when you have that type of policy, there is, it's a little more expensive, but people tend to think it's way expensive. Oh my gosh, it's extra expensive. It doesn't have to be. There are different reasons and different amounts that people can purchase, and it all depends on the conversation that you have with the advisor, right? So a lot of people sometimes shy away from exploring options when it comes to permanent policies because they are fearful of being charged higher rates, right? But at the same time, the benefit is that once you have a purchased amount, if it's $97 when you start, it's $97 if it expires. But if you want to purchase more, you can, right? The universal policy, it's like an investment. So it operates like how you investing, right? The S&P 500, you put money in, there's a little risk in there. So when you are applying for that type of coverage, there's the insurance, but then there's also the investment. So now you are investing your funds. The company's not. You're investing it. So the payout, the dividends, or whatever it is that you are going to be in receipt of, that can fluctuate because it's based on the market, right?
Right.
So when you apply for a coverage like that, there's a questionnaire that the advisor would ask you to determine what type of risks are you willing to take? You know, are you conservative? Are you an aggressive investor? Right. And someone has to manage this policy, and it's not you. There has to be a manager. Someone has to manage it. So there are certain fees to have it managed. And it's important that they manage it because what could happen is the investment can overtake the insurance policy and you can end up losing out if it's not taken care of properly. Right. So that also could be a very, it could be beneficial to certain families, but not to all, right? I will never speak against having one over the other. I there are preferences that I have, yes, but I would say it's all about the individual and what their financial plan looks like. What is it that you are trying to achieve, and making sure that it meets your immediate need, and then you're also being monitored year after year because life changes. More kids come into the family. Some kids are leaving the family because they're going into start their own family or going out on their own, right? So over time, some people purchase a mortgage. Sometimes you have to purchase more insurance because you also would get life insurance to cover mortgage. It covers your debts, right? Credit card debts. So you would make sure that you have debt. You want to do income replacement. Like I said, there's people who, there's children. So if there's a loss of income in the house, replacing that income, you purchase an amount to make sure that there's money left to take care of that. The mortgage, what's the balance in the mortgage? You want money to take care of that. If the kids need to go to school, post-secondary education, you want to leave money for that. You purchase a lump sum of that for that. There's also people who literally will purchase insurance for charities. They don't, they're just like, you know what? This is a charity that I donate to on a regular basis, or this is a cause that I support, or this is a cause that I've always wanted support, and I want to leave a certain amount. So they will purchase. You're purchasing a large lump sum of money at a small cost.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
And so ideally, what age should you look into life insurance? Because you said young. But like, what are we talking here? Like 13?
Well, you know, if you're 13, if you're a minor, then, you know, hopefully parents got to handle that, right? Okay. And I personally, like, even if my child, up until 20, my son is 13, he's covered. He's been covered for the past 4 years. If I had really listened to my dad or had the, like, said to him, do you have someone I can speak to? Like, tell me more. Let me go find out. I would have gotten it for him a lot earlier, and I would have gotten a policy where he, you know, I was talking about the whole life, right? There's benefits to that because there's the investment portion, right? So there's dividends that would be growing. That's an asset for him at a young age.
Right.
And it's cheap because the younger you are, the cheaper it is. However, not everybody can afford it when their kids are young. So it all depends on your income, your expenses, how much is it, how important is it to you? Some people will purchase it for themselves and their kids and make sure it is a part of their plan because they know they've experienced death within their family. They have met families with medical issues, so they want to prepare in advance and make sure that they secure their kids' health, right, and their ability to be insured early. But when it comes to being on your own, right, and like I said, I was out there in my 20s, living it up, partying. The risk that I took, oh my gosh, to have a flashback, the risk that I took, I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be healthy. And I'm thankful that I was able to qualify as an adult. But I would have gotten it in my 20s once if I had known 20s. At a young age. And I was financially irresponsible at that time, though. But I think it's very important. And I think it's also actually not even very important. I think it's beautiful now that social media is just, there's opportunities to share information out there where people can plug in and start to listen. Generations are learning a lot younger, right? So certain things that they've seen, they've also seen things happen within their households and with their friends' families. And they're listening and they're saying, well, I don't want that to happen to me. I mean, I met a college student the other day, like a few months ago. She was young. I went into the college. I was talking to them. And then she literally was like, I need to book an appointment with you. Girl's 23. She's like, I need coverage. I'm like, okay. Yeah. She was like, let's do this. I need to get coverage. Right? So people are listening. They're learning. Actually, it was interesting because she listened to an episode. She met me. She listened to my podcast episodes. And then she contacted me and said, I listened to your episode. So everybody can learn and get once you have an understanding that it's something that's important.
And I honestly, that's amazing because I'm going to be honest with you, in my 20s, mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you anything about life insurance.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're right. With social media out now, it's a lot useful. It's a great tool for people to provide information.
Yeah.
So that people can listen to the information and then take that information in and move how they.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
they would proceed. So whether that's reaching out to you or reaching out to anybody else,
right?
It's a great tool.
Yeah.
Also, it's a great way of educating people. Like I said, I knew nothing about life insurance.
Yeah.
Not a thing. I didn't learn about it until after I had my second child.
Right.
And I learned about life insurance and how important it is. And so, again, that's why I'm stressing so much how important to have this conversation. And the fact that you said that in your 20s would be the best time to look into it, being that a good chunk of my listeners are Gen Z.
Yeah.
Gen Z's, if you're listening.
Yeah.
You could always reach out to Nat for some questions.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she'll be able to guide you along the right way when it comes to life insurance. Now, what are, if there are any, any common misconceptions about life insurance that you've encountered?
So the common misconceptions that I've encountered are this one's better than this one. You know, the whole fight of what's, it's like, okay, calm down. Calm down, everybody, okay? Because sometimes that fight is based on the professionals and where they work and how they operate and what they can do, right?
Okay.
Sometimes that information is based on a person receiving a policy that may not have suited them best. You know, it wasn't in their best interest, or they didn't understand it. And then right there, they had come up with all of these things about this one's better than this and that one's better than that, right? There's no one size fits all. And there's a need to know that policies can be layered. So a term insurance policy can be layered with a whole life policy. A term insurance policy can be layered with a full life policy. I mean, a universal life policy. Critical illness can be added onto these policies. Riders can be added onto these policies. When I said getting a policy for your child when they're young, some people feel that, oh, no, you can't have a policy for your child when they're young. Actually, you can. But in the event that that is something that may be out of a person's budget, you can also purchase a policy for yourself. And most companies will allow you to add on a lump sum or, you know, a certain amount for your child on your policy. So insuring children does not have to be, no, you can't. Yeah, there's options. There are many options when it comes to coverage. The other thing is, and this was what was said to me when I had spoken, when my dad flung the term on me, life insurance, get some. And I was like, okay. And I talked to my friend and she was older than me. So I'm looking at this woman who has two older children. She has her own home. You know, we work together and I have this conversation. She's like, why would you do that? You're going to call down the things, those things on yourself? And remember, yeah, you're going to call down death. So for me now, I'm hot girl. I'm on the road. I need to party and do my thing. You understand? And I'm already telling you my budget wasn't intact. So to even think, and I didn't even do the research to see how much is this coverage, I listened to her. But there's an easy way out. We're not going to die if we get coverage. We're actually going to be in a better position. You know what I mean? That's a lot of people talk about that. They,
yeah.
And then it's like, no, let's throw that away. Just stop. You know? What else? Yeah. No one size fits all. You're not going to pass away. And I wanted to say some. Okay. You have more questions because I think it's going to come back to me. What are the...
I was just going to say in terms of that last one, the misconception of dying. I'm not too sure if this is a common mindset either amongst Black people. I can't really pinpoint it. I've heard that one before.
Yeah.
That you're going to call on death. So that's why I laugh. I don't laugh at you, is because I've heard it before.
Yeah.
And I just think that I don't know where they get that mindset from or why is that even a thought process.
I don't know.
But either.
I don't know either. But I do know that a lot of what we have been experiencing within our community is growth. There is growth. There is growth happening, right? So a lot of the times, yes, there will be a group of people who will still hear the message and dart. The message, it's not received yet. And when they miss that mark, unfortunately, sometimes families are hit, right? And then it's like, oh, we need help. But at the same time, there are many people who are learning and they are taking action. So I got to give credit to the community for that. Oh, another misconception. Work. The insurance that you get with your workplace is not yours. It's not yours. It is yours when you work there. It's yours during the time that you work there. But you know how people are like, oh, I can't, I hate my job. I want to leave my job. Oh, this, that, that, this, and that, this. Well, a contingency plan needs to be had. And that's having your own policy, owning your own policy. Because if you walk away from your workplace, your policy doesn't follow you. And a lot of the times people stay in certain workplaces for years, right? Years and years, years. And they feel that it's okay to work off of what their income, the coverage that they get through their work. There is the issue that one, most times it's not enough to take care of the responsibilities that the funds that are needed to handle their responsibilities. And then two, you may be nice and, well, first of all, when you get it through your work, they're not checking your health. They're not doing all of that. They're just like, sign here. It's a group policy. So you literally get automatically covered, right? But the thing is, if you leave now and you need to apply and say there's a health condition or something is wrong medically, or you have, because there's a series of questions that they ask. Right? It's a little intrusive. It seems so, but rightfully so. They're handing out a lump sum of money. You know what I mean? In the event. Right. So they're going to ask questions, and it does not necessarily mean that everybody will get coverage. Some people get denied. Now, there are companies now that have decided to assist with individuals who are denied with 80% of the companies. So there's that small percentage who would take on and insure people with medical conditions, but the cost of the insurance is it's high. And it's not even like it's not a lot of insurance either, right? So it's always beneficial to make sure that you have your own policy. So in the event if anything happens, you own your coverage.
And like, as you mentioned, with the company policies, from my understanding, what you're explaining to me, it's pretty much a one size fits all. Whereas if you have your own, it could be more so tailored to what you need,
how much you need
coverage. Yeah. So that if maybe your company doesn't cover a set amount based off of what you put forth with the life insurance that you found, it will be used to hopefully cover the remaining amount. If that's my understanding of that.
Right. So usually with the employer policies, what they give you is 1 year, like whatever your salary is, they give you that like 1 year amount of your salary. So 25,000 may be, for some people, the very low income, 25,000, for some people, 70,000. But if you are, you have 70,000 as your income, your payout is going to be that. But your household expenses and the lifestyle and all the responsibilities surmount to that much more. There's an extreme loss that is going to impact the family's stability. Right? So with that said, and then also sometimes with employers, you know, yes, they will say, okay, you can purchase a little bit more insurance. But if you're a person who doesn't know what insurance is and why you need it, right, they're not explaining that to you. So you're just going to choose what seems right to you. But at the end of the day, ultimately, it may not, it's not necessarily the best. So I would just err on the caution where it's like, yes, definitely get with your employer and have it, because it's very low cost. But at the same time, definitely find out how much coverage you can get for yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're just going to switch gears a little bit and switch on over from life insurance to critical illness insurance. Now, what is critical illness insurance for those who probably don't know?
So critical illness insurance is a lump sum payout, and it's paid as a living benefit to the individual who purchases the amount. So for myself, I have critical illness insurance in the event of a diagnosis of cancer, heart, stroke, artery, like this. Oh, I can't even, all the terminologies, girl, it's the language. The language is the medical language. But listen, if it's a terminal illness, if the doctor says you only have this amount of time to live, then that's where you're like, okay, you know what? This lump sum of money would be paid to you tax-free for you to be able to live life, right? Live your life comfortably and focus on recovery. Because what happens, and critical illness is very important, because more than actually passing away, the likelihood is that an individual would acquire a critical illness. I think it's one in every four people will suffer from a critical illness. I need to let you quote me on that. Yeah, but it's a very low number, right? So with that said, I mean, if you look at it, how many times do you go onto your social media and you're looking and there's a person that has cancer or some other illness that has been diagnosed? And it's like, okay, the good thing is that healthcare has a lot of opportunity for survival, the chance of survival to be higher, right? Because research is allowing people to have a stronger opportunity to become healthy and survive, right? But with critical illness, say somebody doesn't want medication. They don't want to go that government route. They're like, listen, I want to go and get my naturopathic diet assistance. And it's going to cost me a certain amount. But I don't want no medications. I'm going to go this route. I have to spend this amount of money to do that. Well, once you get that payout from your critical illness diagnosis, nobody determines what you're spending that money on. You can use it to pay your bills. You can use it to seek your own treatment. You can use it to advance the treatment that you're already getting. Say you go the regular, with regular healthcare treatments through the doctor, and you're taking your pills and whatnot. There's still other expenses that come. People that have to go to the hospital a lot more, right? Doctor's visits are a lot more. So that means, especially if people were driving, they may not be driving anymore. Likely that they won't be driving. So it's cabs, it's Ubers. These costs go up. OHIP will give you certain medications. Certain medications may have to be paid for, right? Maybe have to bring in specialists, personal support workers, or even have family take time off. Well, if you're asking me to take time off, I mean, I can get a leave of absence for family care, family responsibility. No problem. I can ask for that, but they're not going to pay me. Well, at least if that person has that, they can say, listen, I trust you. You're my family. I want you to be here with me. Ask for the time off. I got you. There's a lot of options when you purchase critical illness insurance. And it's also important to have, because sometimes we don't know. Like, I don't know too far back on my family's history on what was underlying or what has happened, right? I know two generations, and I'm okay with that information, but there's the food, the environment. There's so much that are factors now that it's like, people are just getting diagnosed left, right, and center with different types of illnesses, critical illnesses, right? So an air of caution to protect yourself in the event of that, and the chance of survival and the peace of mind to know that financially you won't be burdened, you purchase them. You add that on, right? It sounds like you're tacking on this, tacking on that, but what you're attacking on is security. And it is it is a risk management tool in your financial plan, because what happens if you don't have life insurance and say, you know, you worked on paying off your debt. You're like, listen, I'm doing well. I paid off my debts. I'm getting ready. I have this amount of money to purchase a home. And there comes an event. Well, the money that you have, you're going to have to take that money and use it to take care of yourself. And then when you recover, starting from scratch, if there's recovery, or if you don't have any savings, and then you paid off debt and you're like, okay, now I'm going to start working on savings and this is, and then there's a diagnosis. Well, then, you know, people will end up going back into debt, right? And that in itself is not a good feeling whilst you're trying to deal with taking care of responsibilities, right? A lot of employers.
Right. And that's definitely something we do need to keep mindful of while we do want to, you know, be financially set and save and all that sort of stuff. We also need to prepare for the unexpected, right? So that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Even, you know, you have a mortgage, people have mortgages, you're doing so great. It's like rich people purchase insurance, right? Mm. It's a part of their financial planning, definitely. Banks purchase insurance. It's us who need to understand that this insurance is a wealth building tool. It is security, but it also can be used as a wealth building tool. And meeting with a financial planner who is able to work with you and meet you where you are, and then look at what are your goals and how can they help you reach these goals, and how can they make sure that they're taking care of covering your uncontrollable event, or making sure that you understand the importance of taking care of an uncontrollable events. It's not just life insurance, critical illness insurance, and there's disability insurance as well, right? There are so many different things to look at, but at the same time, when they know, okay, you're working on growing and improving, and we need to make sure that you're secure here, that if anything happens, you're solid, you know, and then we'll help you grow.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, with what's been, like, you know, inflation has been kicking our butt.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next question I'm sure a lot of my listeners are thinking about is like, well, I'm already having a hard time paying rent.
Right.
Paying for groceries. Like, how are we looking in terms of, like, whether it's life insurance or critical illness insurance, when it comes to paying it out now, are we looking at a lot of money? Can it be something that is affordable? Or are you looking to shell out some money?
Okay, so I'm always going to go back to the place of there's no one size fits all with insurance. And with working with someone who understands that, listen, I'm going to help. They're there to help you. They're not going to set you up where, you know what, the amount that you are paying is out of range for the budget that you have. It doesn't make sense. You will not be able to maintain it, right? Mm-hmm. So what you do, I mean, what I do as an advisor is I meet people where they are at. One, you're getting educated. The conversation is about you, what your goals are, what you want to achieve. How long do you want to achieve them? We talk about the protection. Look at your income, your expenses. Sometimes costs need to be cut in certain areas to be able to afford the insurance. And sometimes it's there, but you've never allocated it, into, right? The plan. I've been successful with my clients because, like I said, I meet them where they're at. I know that there are different type of policies. There are different amounts of coverage. You start people and then you allow them to grow over time. When I started in the industry, like I said, the gentleman came to me. I started off with a simple term policy because that's what I could afford, because I wanted to make sure that once I got covered, I got everybody in the house covered, and we all got our little term policies. Okay. And I was like, okay, let's work with this. And then as I started to learn, and then I wanted to get more insurance, that's when I was like, okay, this type of coverage is beneficial for my child at this time. And it's going to do this for him when he's this age. So great. This is going to do well for my other half. So that way, when and if anything happens to me, my son's going to be good. He's going to have peace of mind. The only thing they got to do is mourn me and also look at my photos and remember me and cherish the things that I've been able to do. Right. But I moved and I experienced based on my budget. And I do the same with other people when it comes to me and financial planning. If you have it, and if there's an advisor, and I will say this to anyone listening, if there's someone who's looking at your budget and it just doesn't fit or it doesn't feel right to you, speak up. Ask questions. They should be providing you more than one solution as well. And then also, you know, it's not for them to tell you what you need. It's for them to provide you options, because an advisor, like, we provide you options, make sure you understand it. And then from there, you decide with the advisor. I mean, sometimes they may say, you know what? Remember you said such, such and such. So this is why I chose this policy. If they are speaking in that way to you, then obviously they're advising you for the betterment and because they're being knowledgeable. But if they're just picking something and giving it to you and it's expensive, don't sign up for something that you're not going to keep. This is a very important asset to have in your financial plan.
Yep, I agree. With whether it's life insurance, as we mentioned earlier, or critical illness, I do think it's something that it's an investment.
Yeah.
And it, as you had mentioned, is something that can really be beneficial and it can help you. And so then I'm just going to advise my listener, you know, to find somebody or reach out to Natalie. If you have questions about that, maybe she could have a moment to sit with you, discuss where you're at, and help you find the best plan that is, of course, within your budget.
Yes.
So that you can take on that and not feel as though, like, I don't want it to be a situation where, you know, years down the line, you're thinking, man, I should have, and you find yourself in a situation when you could have years ago, or when you were in your 20s or what have you, trying to get you set up. And even myself, you know I need to get on the ball on that one. And get that on there. And that's the whole purpose of this episode, is to educate people and be more aware of it. Like I had mentioned before, I've been in situations, I've been to funerals where unfortunately it left the family like dry.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, this is before the
the GoFundMe?
Yeah, this is before GoFundMe.
Okay.
Was a thing.
Right.
You know, luckily now, yes, there's GoFundMe and that helps. But I don't know. For some people, they're not too comfortable with telling people the world, the situation.
Yeah.
For them to receive money. And if that's you, then I don't suggest you go that route.
I'm so mad.
Right.
If that's not.
I would suggest you speak to a planner, get a financial advisor, get this sorted so that you don't find yourself into that situation.
Yeah.
Now, are there certain types of lifestyle factors that may impact the choice of coverage?
Oh, yes. Alcohol. So they ask questions about your alcohol consumption on the application. Not to say that you can't drink, but they want to know, you know, if you're drinking, you know, how many, like, shots on a daily basis. Those things, you know, you're risky. They look at risk. What are the risks associated with us covering this person, right? So not to say that you can't drink, but how much are you consuming? Smoking, cigarettes, nicotine. And then also there's other family, medical, like your immediate family. So your parents, your siblings, there are questions on there that they ask about certain diagnoses that they have within, that are had within your family, medical issues. Driving records. They ask, have you had any infractions? You want to know, because if you're outside racing up and down and getting speeding tickets, you're a whole problem on the road. Well, you're a risk factor. They ask these things. And what else? So people like extreme sports, right?
Oh.
Not to say that you can't, but if you do or you enjoy them, what type of sports are they? How often are they? There's going to be questions. They'll want more information because there are certain types of injuries that come from that, right? So, yeah. They ask quite a bit, girl.
Do they also do any kind of physical examinations?
Listen, I love it. Good question. Yes. Okay, so not all companies will physical, but there are times where, you know, part of the application, the approval process is that they may need to come to your home and request urine. They don't request blood. So they will ask for your physician's name and contact information because you are giving access to your medical bureau and your medical record. So they will also know, they have access to go in there and see. Person told me they drink every so often. You know, if they peep up in your records and they find out that you're at the doctor's office because you have a chronic, you know, drinking situation, you know, that's not going to look good, right? So another thing is when answering these questions with the advisor who's working with you, it's important to make sure that you're giving accurate information. There's, don't hide anything. It doesn't make sense. Because if there is any wrong information during the application, and, you know, say they don't do a medical and it's approved and then something happens, it could be that your family would be at risk of not receiving the funds because of lying on an application, right? Mm-hmm. So all questions should be answered truthfully. The only thing you get is a yes, no, or yes with certain conditions, right? And if there's a no somewhere, then maybe the opportunity to receive a yes somewhere else is there as well, right?
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. Well, Nat, it's been a time.
Yes, it has.
I just would like you to give our listeners one big gem. What is one big thing that you want to leave with our listeners about the topic that we've discussed?
Please do not be fearful. Take action. Get a quote. And please, within 2024, get covered.
And I'm going to leave it at that. Natalie, it's been great. Can you just give everybody a way where they can reach you, plug in anything else that you're doing for the year?
Yeah. So you can reach me at www.resetwithnat.com. That's my website. I am on Instagram at resetwithnat. I have the podcast. If you just put in Reset with Nat, it's going to come up. What's up within 2024? I will be starting an accountability group because it's all about financial empowerment and personal development. So I'm all about the five-step reset, right? So I want to go through that journey with many people because I know that there's so much good for all of us out there. So if you're interested in learning more about personal finance and then personal growth, and you want to work with someone who is a vibe,
Oh, yes.
Exactly.
Natalie's your girl.
Yes.
Special thanks goes out to Natalie for being on this episode. Now, if you do want to get in contact with Natalie and maybe you're thinking about, you know what, I think I'm going to get some life insurance or some critical illness insurance and you want to reach out to Natalie, you can definitely do so. You're going to find her on social media. As she mentioned before, she also has a website. So on Instagram, she's Reset with Nat. She also has a podcast, the Reset with Nat podcast as well. And her website is www.resetwithnat.com. And you can reach out with her and set up a time and date that works with you. And hopefully get those policies up and running and ready for you so that you are better prepared for life's weird events. I hope this episode was insightful, knowledgeable, and definitely sparked something in you for you to go ahead and take that route. I know that I will be taking that route very soon as well. I hope that you enjoyed the episode and I will definitely catch you in the next one.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Are you ready for truly hydrated skin? Meet Hyaluronic Body Serum, a breakthrough in body care from Osea. It's clinically proven to instantly increase hydration by 161%. Their lightweight, fast-absorbing serum delivers 24 hours of nonstop hydration for silky, smooth skin without the sticky afterfeel. Osea's latest innovation combines the magic of their best-selling Hyaluronic C Serum with a new formula that's good for the whole body and 5 types of hyaluronic acid to target every layer of the skin. Osea is a woman-founded, women-led brand that's been crafting seaweed-powered products for nearly 30 years. The best part? Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.